We have a great view out here. And yes, folks, if you've seen any of the pictures that have been posted out there on Facebook or on South Carolina News Network, you'll know that I've taken over his office. Congressman-elect for just a few more hours. How are you this morning, Jeff Duncan?
Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I am terrific. It is so cool to be sitting right here in your desk.
Well, it's cool to have you here, and I'm glad you have made yourself at home. And I'm excited to have you up here. I'm glad to share this moment with the folks in South Carolina.
This is pretty cool, isn't it?
It really is. It's a wonderful day, and I took a brisk walk from my apartment up the hill this morning. It's about an 8 to 10 minute walk, and it's a great day. It's temperature is probably somewhere between the high 20s and the low 30s, and a little bit of wind and blue skies, and it's a historic day. We've got 87 Republican congressmen being sworn in today, and 94 in our class, and we're going to start making some difference here, I believe.
Well, I know as you're getting ready for this day, we had a great tour last night of the Capitol, and it certainly was humbling to be in that huge facility and see some of the things. And Chad did such a great job, Chad Connolly, filling us in on some of the things that you never get to hear about.
Yeah, Chad knows the history of the Capitol and a lot of the artwork in there, and the figures, the historical figures that are represented in there, and talked about our founding fathers, talked about the Christian principles that this country was founded on, and really showed the symbolism for that. It was very humbling. We've got over 70 people in that crowd last night, and the Capitol was closed, so there were very few people in the Capitol. There was a couple other congressmen-elect that had family and friends up, but we had the largest crowd by far with over 70. And
how did that make you feel to have that many people make the trip up here? You know, they paid for this themselves. They came up here on their own. How did that make you feel?
Wow. Humbled that folks want to come support me in this endeavor and stand behind me and stand with me today. And overwhelming. They're here for me, but they're not just here for me. They're here for this historic occasion as well, because this country has gone down the wrong track, and they have high hopes this Congress will start reversing that trend, and that's what they want to come say, hey, you know, we're behind you on this. And so I'm very humbled that that many people chose to make that trip and reach in their own pockets and to do it. We help facilitate all of that, you know, get everybody in the bus lined up and the hotel arrangements and all that, but they made the sacrifice themselves. And I was glad we were able to share the Capitol. I learned a lot last night as well. And as soon as we finish this interview, we've got a prayer breakfast with that same crowd this morning. Actually, we're going to have about 100. There's some folks that didn't come last night that will be there this morning. And we're going to start it off right.
You know, one of the things that impresses me, here you are, room 116 of the Cannon office building, and you have a welcome sign out front. You have your sign on your wall. Your office is all set up. When we were walking around yesterday, we saw chaos. We saw people not even set up to go, but you've got a nice welcome. I even noticed the coat rack outside there. Very nice, the way you guys have thought of everything.
We're ready for folks to come see us. We're open for business today, and we want to welcome folks. This is their office. I work for them. And they're welcome to come by, and I look forward to seeing them. We're going to do a ribbon cutting. After we have our prayer breakfast this morning, everyone's going to come over. We're going to stretch a red ribbon out, and we're going to cut it just like a small business would, and tell you we're open for business to serve you. And we're going to do that back in the district with our district office as well. But we're going to start out right with a ribbon cutting here this morning, and we'll welcome people to Washington. This is their capital.
It is, and you know, I think one of the things you said is that you want people to come here and see you.
I do. And one of our choices of offices, as you know, is very well situated for access, easy access for the public. Come right off the street in the door, and we're right down the hall. 116, ground floor, don't have to climb any steps or take any elevators. And it's a little further for me to walk to the Capitol to vote, but it's easier for my constituents to come see their congressman, and I welcome them to do that.
And now the view. The view out the back of your office here, as I turn around here, I'm able to look out on a, is that sod out there? Does that look like you're growing grass out on the top of the roof here?
It looks like they're rolling sod out there. It really does. And you hit it. You know, we're going to have a par 3 course out there on the roof is what it looks like, but with flags and everything. But they're actually because we asked the same question. They're doing a greening project, and that is going to be a living roof system where that's some sort of vegetation that they're rolling out like grass, and it'll help absorb the sunlight, and it'll help evaporate the water, and it's a living roof system. And, yeah, we'll see how it does out there, because I don't know how much sun that gets year-round. And but we're looking at a courtyard, folks. We're not looking out on nice grass or the Capitol. I'm a freshman congressman, so I've got an interior office, and I'm looking at a roof. But at least they're going to put some grass out there.
That's right. Maybe you can plant a garden out there, Jeff. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, does this window open? Can you walk right out there?
Well, it'll make the heat and air units that we can see much more palatable, I guess. But anyway, it's neat. We got here on Monday, and they were rolling out. Have you seen side laid and
right.
rolls, and they roll it out? That's what they're doing, and to tell the folks back home. But so we're going to watch that project with eager anticipation for a nice lawn out there on the roof.
Absolutely. Now, you have been selected for the committees that you're going to be working on. What committees are those going to be?
I've been asked to serve on three committees, which is it's not unusual, but not every freshman congressman is on three committees. I'm on natural resources, which deals with all the federal lands, the outer continental shelf, things we've talked about, the oil and natural gas reserves that we have in this country, all the national parks and BLM land and everything that the government manages with our natural resources. So that's going to fit right in because the committee I chaired in the state legislature kind of ties in with that. Second committee is Homeland Security.
And wow.
Homeland Security deals with our borders, Customs and Border Patrol, ICE, immigration issues, counterterrorism, cyber terrorism, protecting the sovereignty of this country. And I'm very energized by my ability to serve on that because immigration reform and securing
we've
the sovereignty is something we've talked about many, many times. And then cyber terrorism is a threat that we've been told as a freshman class that is a real credible threat. And then the third committee is Committee on Foreign Affairs and deals with all the trade issues and how the United States government interacts with foreign countries, which is a constitutional power of government. And so I'm excited about that. And then I don't know if I told you this, but I was chosen by our chief whip, Kevin McCarthy, to be on his whip team. So I'll be a deputy whip helping.
Wait a minute. The whip team? Come on now, Jeff. You're going to whip them into shape in there?
Now, historically, that's what it means, you know. And it's, but it'd be part. It'll give the folks in the 3rd Congressional District a voice at the table. And I'll be sitting there with the leadership and being able to express to them what I heard on the campaign trail, what folks hope that I will do here. So it gives us as South Carolina and our district a voice at the table, and I'm encouraged by that. And I served as whip in Columbia, and I'm probably not the best whip because I don't always agree with leadership sometimes because I'm very independent, like conservative-minded person. So we'll see how all that plays out.
Well, you know, what is the thing, though? You know, there's all this talk about repealing or changing the health care. That vote's coming up, what, on the 12th, I think?
Right.
What are the things that you think, personally, that you can try to make changes? They're not going to be huge changes. They're going to be small changes, I think. We'd like to have huge change, but you can't do huge change overnight.
Right. Well, and you definitely can't when you have a House controlled by the Republicans, a Senate controlled by the Democrats, and a Democrat president. So it may be incremental. Small changes.
But what things do you think that you can
goes back to my philosophy that government has got to shrink. And we've got to cut spending. We've got to get government spending under control. We've got to start building surpluses, pay back some of this debt. I think it's the national security issues, the amount of debt we have in this country. Ronald Reagan said that man isn't free unless government is limited. And I firmly believe that. And it goes all the way back to Jefferson saying pretty much the same thing. So we need to adhere to those principles, which are limited government, free markets, individual liberties, and those are things I'm going to pursue. How to do that? A balanced budget amendment. Government's got to operate the way we operate our homes and our businesses. We've talked about that many, many times. You've got to live within your means, and you can't spend every dollar and borrow dollars.
Well, what's going to happen in March when you actually have to vote on the budget, right, as to whether to extend the budget ceiling
the debt ceiling is what you're talking about.
Right, yes.
Well, you know, I haven't seen the budget. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, Congressman Ryan, is going to start working on the budget. He's chairman of the budget committee, and I believe in him. He's very conservative. He's very like-minded with me, and I'll see what that committee and what he's able to do on the budget. But the thing about the debt ceiling is I'm not going to vote to raise the debt ceiling. I believe that the mandate on November 2nd was quit borrowing money and get your spending under control, cut government, start building surpluses. And I believe the mandate said, don't go to your credit card company and ask for a credit limit increase, cut the plastic up, throw it in the garbage can, and let's start paying back that debt. And that's going to be my philosophy.
So what will happen to the government? Would you fund parts of the government and not other parts? I mean, you know, those are the things that, because you can't just shut government down. Can you?
Government has shut down before.
Right.
And that's not my desire.
Right.
My desire is to encourage leadership on both sides of this building, the Senate and the House and the President, to start making the hard choices and start cutting government now. Start reducing the amount of spending so that we don't hit that debt ceiling. And we've got time. We've got 3 or 4 months here before calculations say that we hit the debt ceiling. So we've got time to start doing that. And I've advocated for a Byrd type committee. A Byrd committee was 1942. They were formed to really look at eliminating and ending some government programs, to start building surpluses to pay for a war effort. That was our crisis in 1942 as we were at World War. Well, our crisis today is the amount of debt that we've got. It's a national security issue, and we need a commission, a committee that looks at all government spending and start making those cuts. And I'm not alone in this. In 2008, President-elect Barack Obama said, we're going to take the federal budget page by page, line by line, and we're going to eliminate unneeded and wasteful programs to start cutting spending and get it under control.
Exactly.
He's yet to do that. He has yet to do that. He also said, as a senator in 06, when this debt ceiling vote came up before, he said, this is wrong. This is failed leadership to hit the debt ceiling and vote to raise that. We should not do that. We should cut spending. Everything I'm talking about, this president talked about in 06, and so I'm going to hold him to his word, because what he said in 06 is what I believe. And so let's put it into action.
Absolutely. So what kind of relationships have you started here? What kind of relationships? I know that you told me it was like surreal here to be in this, but you've been making those.
It's not surreal to you. You're sitting behind my desk. You tell me. It's surreal, man. I mean.
Yeah, who would think I'd be sitting at Jeff Duncan's desk and he'd be sitting across from me? Anyways, what do you think about the relationships and everything that you've started to form? Are you in good shape? Are you feel comfortable about things?
Yeah, I feel good. We've got a great freshman class. Those are the relationships I've really started building. But we also have, you know, like Congressman Ted Poe, who helped us last night. He's from Texas, and he was a judge there in Texas, which was an elected position, and for his whole career. And then he ran for Congress, and just a great guy. And we're friends. And he helped me out last night because I'm not a sitting member of Congress, so I couldn't get a crowd that large into the Capitol, and he could.
Right.
So, but those are the relationships with Ted Poe and Steve King and Lynn Westmoreland from Georgia and some of these others that, and of course, our whole delegation, you know, and Joe Wilson and others. And so those are relationships that we're going to build on. And that's what it's about. It's building coalitions, earning the trust of your colleagues, and so that they will listen to what you say, and we can try to move the ball forward together.
Well, you know, these are the type of things that, you know, I think everybody wants to know is, how do you feel? Just tell me how you feel right now.
I'm excited. This is the culmination of all that we've worked for is the official swearing in today, and but you said it earlier. You came in, our office is organized. My staff's already working, and we're answering calls. We're answering constituent letters. We're working on committee work. They've already made contact with committee chairman and their offices about upcoming legislation and meetings and that sort of thing. And so we're ready to get to work. And, you know, personally, I'm excited. I'm humbled that to be a part in this this historic moment, and to go out on that floor today with two of my sons with me that I can have out on the floor, and then my wife and my oldest son will be up in the gallery. We were only given 2 gallery passes.
Sure.
And so my mom and dad even can't even watch the official swearing in. They're going to have to watch it remotely. So that's kind of, you know, a bummer. But Anyway, to be there and raise my hand and take the oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which you see a copy on my desk. That's the one I carry in my coat pocket. I laid it here to remind me of what all this is about. When I swear that oath today, it'll be one of the most humbling experiences beyond my baptism that I've ever experienced.
Did you ever think you'd make it this far?
I never did. I never thought I would be at this point in my life, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing, and I'm honored to serve the people in South Carolina, and I'm going to get emotional when you hear it, but it's humbling.
I know. We brought you something to hopefully keep on your desk. This is an amethyst crystal.
South Carolina stone.
Yes, it is, and it is actually from Due West, South Carolina.
Wow.
And we wanted to help promote some clear thinking, so we brought you this crystal. It is for your office, for the people of South Carolina, for you to sit and remember us every day.
Well, that looks great on my desk. I'm going to keep it here. I believe in the power of crystals. I am. This is South Carolina crystal. I think one of the largest pieces is here in Washington in a museum. I've seen it.
Yes, Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Yep. And one in the Natural Museum of History in New York, and it came from Due West, South Carolina.
Due West, South Carolina.
So that's in your district.
That is. The 3rd Congressional District is blessed in so many ways. So.
It is. So what do you think about adding another representative? That'll be coming up.
It will. It gives South Carolina more of a voice, and to have 7 congressmen from our state. And once again, I think we had 7 until about 1930 census, but it's just a great thing for South Carolina. It's going to mean most districts are going to shrink and just to wedge another congressional district in the state, and we'll see how that plays out. Our General Assembly will draw those maps, and I think they'll do a good job. I'm counting on them, but we're going to be active in that process too.
Now let me ask you something. You know, you were in the House down there in South Carolina. What do you think we're facing down there in South Carolina? I know you've stepped up here to the big picture, but what do you think we're facing down there? Do you think we can handle the budget? And Nikki Haley, of course, gets inaugurated, what, I think, on the 12th. So what do you think?
They're gonna have a tough time, man. And I don't envy the job that they've got, but they have been elected to do the job, and they will do it well. They've got a tremendous $1 billion deficit this year, and $800 million of that was stimulus money that wasn't there, and from 2 years ago, $350 million last year, and $350 million the year before, and then $120 million last year, and additional stimulus money. All that went away, and we tried to tell them. Mark Sanford and a number of us said, don't base your budget, continuing dollars, on this stimulus money, because it's not going to be here in 2 years. Well, hello, it's not there. So, but I believe that Speaker Harrell and Chairman Cooper and that crowd will do what's right for the state, and my prayers and thoughts are with them. I'm thankful that I'm not down there. I got my own battles up here that are going to be just as bad, though. So, but anyway, I'm going to just wish them best of luck, and I know they've got a challenge on their hands.
They do. Let's see. Another question I wanted to ask you is, how is your family taking this in? How about your wife and the boys?
Well, they flew up yesterday, and my oldest son went touring with my brother and his wife and one of his sons, and they toured. My brother had never been to Washington before, so they took off. He had a plan. He's that kind of guy, you know. I'm going to say this. And so Graham.
He had that plan, but it failed.
Well, Graham, my oldest son, took off with them, and my wife and my 2 youngest sons came up here with me to the office, and so she saw the office, and they're just overwhelmed as I am. And then last night to walk in that Capitol where their dad's going to be serving as a congressman, I think it's starting to hit home with them that you know, this is this in Kansas anymore, Toto. You know, it's something. But I think today, you know, when they're in ties and blue blazers and they walk out on that floor with me, and there's 435 congressmen in there and all those people in the gallery, and we're in the nation's capital, and they see Speaker Boehner, and I think it's going to really be driven home at that point.
I think so. Now, what are you doing for living arrangements? Did you get an apartment? How are you when you're up here, how are you going to live?
Well, Tim Scott and I are sharing an apartment together. We've got a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. It's about a half a mile south of the Capitol, down in the Navy Yard area, which is an area that is being rehabbed, and Washington National Stadium is about a block and a half away. We can kind of see it, but kind of not. Just there behind some buildings, and the only way we could make it work. It is so expensive to live up here, and I looked at one-bedroom apartments to live alone, but I just couldn't make it work financially, and so Tim and I talked. We're friends from the legislature, and we decided to share expenses and found a great new high-rise building on the seventh floor, and, you know, we're going to... he's here in town, honestly, and I haven't seen him yet. He was here yesterday. We had a big conference meeting yesterday, and then... we got back about 11:30 last night, and he was already in the bed, and we left early this morning, and I haven't seen Congressman Scott yet. I guess I'll see him in a little while, but that's kind of routine, I think, is going to happen. You know, it's just a place to lay our heads down and sleep at night and shower, and then we're gone again because it's a hectic lifestyle, but financially, that's the only way we could make it work.
What do you think about the expanse of this place? I mean, people talk about it's like a bubble. Is it starting to influence you, this bubble, that, like, everything is different than it is in the rest of the world or in the nation?
Yeah, you can see why it's called a bubble, but because... you know, everything is encased right here. I could leave this office and go downstairs on a tunnel and go to the Capitol or go get something to eat or whatever and never get outside of this sphere. But you see, we've got bottled water. We're not drinking the water up here, folks. We're drinking bottled water.
You bring it from South Carolina?
people said, don't drink the water up there. So we're not going to. But, no, I can see how folks get influenced by this this reality that's not real.
Right.
You know, this isn't real. This is its own reality. And so the thing that'll keep me humbled and grounded is traveling back to the district and being back on South Carolina. So I'm talking with my fellow South Carolinians and finding out what they're thinking and what they want me to do. And we're going to do that as much as we can. So.
Well, I know Mike Kelly was on Face the Nation Sunday morning, and Debbie Wasserman was there, and he kept talking about you guys, you know, you guys have done this, you guys have done that. She looked across the table at him, and she goes, you know, after Wednesday, you're one of the you guys.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I guess today I'll be one of the guys, but, you know, they're going to have to come around to my way of thinking, or I'm going to be... I'm not going to be one of the guys, you know, and I don't plan on ever being one of the boys on the team up here, but I'm going to do what you guys back home want me to do, and that's kind of interesting that, you know, everyone, even on the campaign trail, is talking about the problems in Washington, talking about what they were doing wrong, when now we've been elected, and it's our time, and we've got to act on that and keep grounded on that document right there, you know, what our founders envisioned. And I'll tell you and your listeners that our Republican caucus is going to read the United States Constitution on Thursday from the House floor to remind ourselves and this nation and this Congress what it's all about, what we're charged with, what we're limited to do, and what we're prohibited from doing, what the separation of powers are in the three branches of government. And so I'm going to go over tomorrow. They're going to start at 10:30, and I'm going to get in line, and I'm going to read a section of it. And
you won't have to read it, though, will you?
I won't have to read it. I can't memorize it, but I know a lot of it. But, you know,
I thought you had that thing memorized. You know,
I carry it, Kyle. I don't have to memorize it. It's written right here, and I carry it with me and use it as a reference guide. But I hope I read Article 4, Section 4. It talks about the federal government guarantees every state that joined the Union a Republican form of government, but also guaranteed that they would protect them against invasion. And we're being invaded every day on our southern border, and we're not doing anything about it as a nation. So our sovereignty is being watered down and being violated, and that's got to change. And Homeland Security Committee will help me with that. We've got a drug cartel war going down on our southern border. Americans are being killed, and you don't hear much from our leaders about that, but you will hear that from me, because those are American citizens who are involved in that.
Absolutely. You know, it is almost 8:30. It has been so great to have you here to kick this show off and for me to be sitting at your desk here. I hope everybody's getting these pictures on Facebook, South Carolina News Network. We're sending them out everywhere. So everybody check out the web because these things are out there. But Jeff, we wish you all the best. And I know you've got to go to your prayer breakfast in just a minute. We're going to have other guests on here coming up in just a minute, I believe, Trey Gowdy.
Trey Gowdy
is calling us.
Oh, it's the Congressional District.
That's right. So he's calling in to talk for a few minutes. I know you guys are all excited to do this, and all our hearts and prayers are out to you today. It's been a long journey. And I am fortunate to have been able to cover this with you. And it is so good to see you, well, almost sitting in your seat. Because I've got it right now.
I'm in the office with some of my stuff here. So anyway, Ann, it's great to have you in that chair there and in this office sharing this moment with me and letting your listeners play a part in this as well. And I look forward to seeing as many of them that want to come to Washington and visit their congressman and let me know what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. And we'll work on this together. And I just want to say God bless everyone and God bless America. And thank you so much for coming.
Well, I think we may even do this again. You know, we've been talking about this in the future, so I may be coming back up here, and we may have to get together and talk again.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. All right. I'm going to say it. Congratulations, Congressman Jeff Duncan. Thank you so much this morning.
I'm going to leave that right there. Thank you very much, and we look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thank you.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes, it sounds good. Congressman Jeff Duncan, right here on The I Love Ann Show, live from Washington, D.C. I do believe it is time, or past time, to join South Carolina News Network.